Now we're going to learn about some of history's most famous names, though you've probably never heard of the people who actually bore those names. Author John Bemelman's Marciano is just out with the book Anonymous, The Forgotten People Behind Everyday Words. Eponymous means anything named after a person, like Ford Motor Company or Washington, D.C. To qualify for this book, words also had to be anonymous, not generally associated with real people. Think Rudolf Diesel, Candido Jacuzzi, or maybe most famously, the Earl of Sandwich. John Bemelman's Marciano calls him the patron saint of anonymous.
He was a government minister in England. And there was an old story that was written by a French traveler that said that he was such an inveterate gambler that he invented the sandwich on a particular gambling binge so he would never have to get up from the gaming tables for 24 hours straight.
There is just one problem with that story. The Earl's family insists their ancestor invented the sandwich because he was such a tireless worker he did not want to get up from his desk. True or apocryphal, the stories in Anonymous led author Marciano to many linguistic discoveries.
The word that actually started me on this path was the word silhouette. To me, struck me as a very funny word. And I went to the Oxford English Dictionary. I looked up its etymology. And when it said that it came from Étienne de Silhouette, a French finance minister in the 18th century, I really couldn't believe it. I thought it had to be, it was like a joke or a mistake or something. The story goes that the French had a horrendous budget deficit, and he raised taxes, and he turned people into basically shadows of themselves. But somehow that story then evolved that he actually practiced the art of shade cutting, which is where the word was first adopted. So within history, these things get very mixed up.
Well, it does seem that a fair number of these come from inventors, Fahrenheit and Celsius, yep, and voltage. And among those, what would be your favorite?
I love the story of Jules Lyotard. He actually was going to be a law student, and his father ran a gymnasium in the south of France. And he had the idea of taking the bars that gymnasts use and basically suspending them from a ceiling and then traveling from one to the other while they were moving and doing somersaults between them.
Swings, yeah.
Swings. And there was a promoter in Paris who caught wind of it and came down to the south of France, saw him doing it, and then booked him into the largest venue in Paris. And he became an absolute sensation. And one of his other inventions was he knew that he had a pretty good physique, so he wanted to show that off. So he invented the one-piece athletic outfit, and that became the leotard. And it became this sensation around Paris and was used in dance studios especially.
Another area is mythology.
Yeah.
And one of the characters out of mythology gave us the word tantalize.
Tantalize, yes. Tantalus was punished by the gods, and they came up with a very unique punishment for him, which was for all eternity, he had to stand in a river with fruit branches above him. And every time he tried to reach up to take a bite of fruit, wind lifted the branch out of his hands. And whenever he tried to bend down to take a drink of water, the level of water went too low for him to drink.
So forever doomed to be tantalized.
Yes.
Galvanize.
Galvani, Luigi Galvani. He was a scientist, and he was one of those guys who was, it was a spectacular accident. He had two passions. One of them was electricity, and the other was animal biology. This is a couple of hundred years ago in Italy. And he had a laboratory, and he had this electricity machine, and it created sparks. And he had been dissecting a frog on the same table. And by mistake, one of his assistants touched the electricity machine to the frog's legs, and the frog's legs sprang to life. And he suddenly realized there must be electricity in animals. And it was, it was like that you stuck your chocolate in my peanut butter moment. And eventually led Volta, who was his friend and contemporary, to invent the first battery.
One that I think might surprise people is the Frisbee.
That was a really surprising one for me. There was a woman named Mary Frisbee who made pies in Connecticut. And Yale students, other colleges have claimed it, but most people think it was actually Yale students, would throw around her pie plates after they had finished her pies. And it said on them, Frisbee. And kind of like you would say incoming, they would say Frisbee. So, just to give people the heads up and know that there was something spinning and flying that was coming out their head. Now, what was interesting about this, there was a corporation called the Whammo Corporation that, of course, made the hula hoop. And they had a spinning disc that was called the Pluto Platter.
And I'm seeing where that's going.
Yes. And it wasn't doing that well. And they couldn't quite figure out why it wasn't doing well. And they went around to college campuses knowing that this is where trends started. And to their surprise, in the Northeast, people were already throwing flying discs, and they had this name Frisbee for it. So they said, well, that's a much better name than the Pluto Platter. So Mary Frisbee's name was actually spelled F-R-I-S-B-I-E. They changed it to be E-E so they could trademark it. And that's how Frisbee became Frisbee.
Now, you write that there are a lot of phony eponyms on the internet.
Yeah, those are my favorites.
Domenico DeCama.
Domenico DeCama. Originally, the Bible was unpunctuated, and supposedly Domenico DeCama, to make it more easily readable, inserted commas into the Bible, and he was killed by the Inquisition for they said that the punctuation was an affront to God. Sadly, though, it's not true. The comma actually comes from Greek, meaning to cut off.
But why do you think they're so wonderful? Partly because they're no more ludicrous than most of the real ones.
Well, no, I mean that's the amazing thing. I mean, like, why is Leopold von Asphalt, you know, which is completely fake, any more strange than Rudolf Diesel?
Could have been. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, this has been great.
John Bemelman's Marciano is the author of Anonymous, The Forgotten People Behind Everyday Words. And you can read why Philadelphia whiskey maker E.G. Booze did not make it into the book at our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.